B-Pod Studios.
Brady Field, waist high, stands in the box. Brady up under center with a play. Brady stands and lobs the throw to Gronkowski. Brady throwing down the middle. Gronk makes the catch.
Brady takes the snap.
Shotgun snap to Brady. Fires down the middle. Throw to Gronkowski. Gives to Michelle. Runs it left. A dive to the end zone. Touchdown, Patriots.
This is the home of the winningest quarterback in Super Bowl history.
Tom Brady, six-time champion.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Fred, hello.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
Hey.
What's going on? Are we on fire?
How you doing, Stanky Lane?
You know I went a year without touching myself?
I love meatballs.
Do you?
Let's go, Red Sox.
Ammonia is not contagious.
What is not contagious?
Ammonia.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb, bomb.
Go, Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb, bomb.
Wall dick, well, yeah.
5-15-75. Hello. Welcome to the show.
Hello.
It's already tough finding a parking spot in South Boston, but you add the snow, you add the slush, and then you add the space savers, like this dining room chair here. You can only imagine how difficult it's been for neighbors here.
I was like, oh man, this is going to be a long night.
Take a look around South Boston and you'll find plenty of people bundled up with a shovel in hand. And many don't appear to be too thrilled.
Better just do it tonight rather than have to wake up at 6 a.m. and do it tomorrow morning.
After all that hard work, you better believe many people claim their spot with a space saver. From shopping baskets and buckets to this patio chair.
So I went out to my back, like, porch and got that.
Since the city didn't declare this a snow emergency, Mayor Marty Walsh says all space savers will get tossed out with the trash. So good luck finding a place to park.
I've heard people, like, egg their cars.
Slash tires.
Yeah, people are pretty feisty if you steal their spots.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Good morning. We are the Toucher and Rich radio program in the Town Fair Tire Studios, 617-779-0985. Bruce Cassidy from the over there from the Bruins going to join us at 8:15 this morning. Now, Rich, years ago, you were anti-space saver.
Yeah, I didn't get it. And now it's one of those things where I absolutely get it. It's been a complete 180. It's one of those things where... And we had a huge discussion about this with Ted Johnson, because Ted Johnson had not heard about any of this before. And what's amazing about this thing that they just announced right there, that was part of the story, is that because they didn't declare it a snow emergency, you can't use the space savers now. And I love the threat that anything you leave in the space, the city is going to come pick up and take and trash it. And bring it to the dump.
I'm a homeowner. I say perfect.
Well, I mean, that's what happened last year.
Great.
Remember that? It was like everyone, it might have been the year before where they said, okay, so we are going to confiscate anything you leave in there. And there's always people saying, I've been meaning to take this old washing machine to the dump for a long time. And now the city's going to do it for free? Oh, hell yeah. And so that's what, and matter of fact, there was a big news story about it where people were just saying, if you're going to confiscate our space saver, then time to unload, baby. A little bit of winter cleaning.
What a waste of resources to go around and start taking out space savers.
You know what? I bet they don't actually really do that.
No.
I think that one year they did because, remember, it was so ridiculously long.
It was four years ago.
The winter was so long. And there were people who had the same spot for like a month and a half. And then, remember, it went all the way through like the middle of April, and it was and the big snow piles were still there. It was the year that, remember, we went and saw the big snow farm that was down over at the seaport.
Yeah, and there was,
and it was June, and it was still there. There was still a big snow pile.
Yeah.
I understand. I don't think that yesterday. I think that was an idle threat by the mayor. I honestly don't believe that they had the trucks going out picking up their stuff. But a couple years ago, I that was the funniest damn story. It was like, oh, please don't pick up whatever thing we left in our space savers.
I don't know what the bottom line is. I don't even know why space savers, what his business is with that.
It's because it's, I guess, to prevent any kind of fighting.
Well, no, but then keep the space savers. There's nothing, because it's BS. When I lived in Brighton, I had to do this. If you shovel out your space, why should someone else be able to use it?
Because if there's not a snow emergency, and because at some point it's not about the snow, it's about just having your own parking space.
Well, no, but it is about the snow. If there's no snow, You don't put out a space
saver. Well, that's what he's saying. There's no snow emergency.
But there is snow. I mean, it's right there on the street.
Well, I guess what he's saying is that there's not enough to justify you being able to have a space saver. And in some parts of town, you're absolutely right. There's still giant piles of snow.
It's just blind luck. However, the timing of the storm. If the storm happened from, you know, 9 in the morning till 4 in the afternoon, there would have been a snow emergency. It just so happened it was overnight.
Right. However, if I didn't have a driveway, I would have to, where I am, I would have had to shovel out a spot, and it would have been, what was at the end of my driveway? It would have been, you know, by the way, a-holes, it took me yesterday 2 hours to clean out all that crap. So anyway, so it would have taken me 2 hours. I mean, it would have had to sit there for 2 hours. And if I don't put a space saver there, there's nothing as frustrating or as maddening as doing that and then having someone just come in and take it.
Sure. And that's the thing. However, what their justification was before is at some point, and I think there should have been a snow emergency yesterday, but at some point, the snow's pretty much gone, and if you're still keeping a space saver there, then you're being an a-hole.
No. If the snow's pretty much gone, then the space saver goes out the window.
And that's what they were talking about when they confiscated them last time. They're like, "What? You can't keep it there now. The snow's been pretty much gone for a while."
Fair enough. That's fair enough. But I mean, if you're acting today or over the course of the next few days, like there's not snow on the curb, like outside of the curbs, you are sadly mistaken.
Mm-hmm.
Because remember when March was nice, if you live anywhere else on the planet?
It's not here.
No,
not here.
You could argue March is the worst month.
But it was funny because when Ted Johnson was in here, we talked about how, like, when I first moved here, I was like, this is the dumbest thing I've ever heard. You can't just keep a space. And then you're like, oh, yeah, this is a nightmare. If you shovel yourself out, I mean, it's an absolute nightmare. You take off and somebody else comes in there if it takes you, like, 2 hours. So you understand it. And the whole thing was about how Ted Johnson, you know, being someone who's never lived in the city, didn't get it. I'm like, dude, you're going to get your car keyed if you park in someone's spot. As a matter of fact, the people are so ingenious in their revenge. There were people who were calling in saying that they would take a dirty diaper that they were throwing out. And if somebody took their spot, there was one guy who took, like, the feces and put it underneath all the door handles. So if you had to get into your car when the guy went out there, he had to reach in and grab just a handful of feces in order to get into his car.
All right, Matt, you still have a bone to pick with Rich.
Oh, my God, Rich, that's such a fraud. Rich, you and I got into an argument about this. Like, oh, I live in the Back Bay, and I don't need a space saver. And I'm like, dude, I live in Dorchester. I work overnight, and I still have that same job. I'm not going to tell you what it is. But it's like, come on, man.
Yeah, you're right.
I'm glad you came around, which is awesome. One time when I was living in Brighton, I had a water bottle with me. Somebody took my spot, and, well, I just put it on. I took the water bottle. I knew it was like 2 degrees outside, and I just you know, a little drizzle of water on the crack of their door.
I was about to say that.
To get in your car the next morning.
I was about to say that the best thing you can do is take a bucket of water and dump it on the car.
No, there was a guy who had a better idea. Now, I don't recommend anyone do this.
This was
just an all timer.
Oh, man.
The guy took like, you know, he was like a hunter guy, and he had like that deer pee stuff. Mm-hmm. Although you could do it with your own if you really wanted to. And you know that little piece of fabric that pushes up against your window, the one that kind of, you know, the rubber seal.
Yeah.
He said what he would do is he went to one car that took his spot that he had dug out, is he opened up the rubber seal and poured it down that hole. So there's no way of getting out that deer pee. It just would smell, make your car smell, and there was nothing you could do about it.
Mm. Well,
the amount of, like, ingenuity when it came to the revenge of people taking their parking spot is wildly admirable.
Yeah.
I mean, there was one guy.
I don't know how much of this I believe.
Oh, I believe all of it.
There was one guy.
I believe all of it.
It was one guy who had a car park in his spot, and he said he took all the snow that he used to shovel out his spot, poured it back onto the car, and then poured water on top of the snow to ice it in, and then put more snow on top of it.
Well, Zolak did that to me at the station. Except minus the water, he just covered my car in snow.
Yeah.
Well, that was a Gresh thing, I think. He was leading the charge that day.
Okay, well, one of the interns felt so bad. I'm like, you don't have to help me. And then like two interns came out and helped me.
Remember that.
That was one of the ones that was like, this is really funny.
And then it turns into like an ice block. Right, it's like an ice block.
I get to sit here for the next hour. That's funny. Good joke. Considering you can't even see it. Like, wow, hey. Joke's on me. I get to dig this out for the next 2 hours. So hopefully this is it. Hopefully this is it for all that.
Well, you would hope so. A lot of it's melted away. I mean, now there's just, except for the giant piles that people made. I mean, those take forever to melt. But like most of the stuff on the regular street, if you got, unless it's like one of those ones where you've seen those random street corners where just the plows chose, this is the corner.
Yeah,
I'm making a mountain.
Yeah.
And that's going to be gone in a month. If it's warm, it's going to be gone in a month.
Nah, it doesn't take that long.
Oh, but, man. There were, I remember the year of the Patriots parade.
No, I know. You're talking about, like, because on my street, there were ones that were higher than the street signs. I mean, I know what you're talking
about.
We
have five footers. Yeah.
Five footers is a light snack. I'm talking about 10 feet. I'm talking about, 5 feet's the end of my driveway yesterday. Maybe four. But I'm talking about over street signs. I'm talking about, I told you when I got in the stupid snow looking for my son during those blizzards, and I stepped into the snow and it was so deep I started panicking and had to like swim out of it. Like, ah! Ah! Drowning in snow.
Like Pauly in Rocky IV.
Yeah.
Have you ever stepped in the snow and it's like up to your mouth?
Yeah, it is a little weird, yeah.
Oh, a little weird, yeah.
It's a little weird.
It's a little weird that like seeing your life flash before your eyes.
No one's going to find me.
I'm going to die in this snowdrift is where I'm going to die.
I hope they got my comics out here.
Well, he had that robot that he could bang.
Happy birthday, Pauly.
Look, I'm falling in love with you.
Oh, Pauly. Yeah. And changed the voice to make it all sexy.
Did they really?
Oh, yeah. Remember he came out and got the beer? Oh, Pauly, you're the best.
Is that when Pauly started to like get amorous towards it?
Yeah. She loves me. He said she loves
me. Yeah, all right.
Yeah.
That wasn't so realistic. I mean, you might as well put a garbage can out there with a hole in it. Pauly, have at it.
Remember she came in playing the super smooth Kenny Loggins song? You like even had to play like romantic music?
I don't remember that.
Oh, dude. I've
seen that movie fairly recently.
Rocky IV is the one movie I could lip sync. Like, you could just play it, and I could tell you every single word, and I could say it the way that it's said. I've seen that movie more than any other film.
Well, you know Rocky IV, too. Like, that robot was to juxtapose how rich and classy he was, as opposed to when he went to Russia.
Right.
So when they thought, like, what's the ultimate sign of wealth?
Sure,
just like Wall Street.
The luxury robot.
Yeah, here's the luxury. All right, Rich, what do we got coming up?
All right, well, Kyrie Irving spoke, and so did Jaylen Brown, and everything's a mess.
Yeah,
I can't wait for the playoffs.
Kyrie Irving spoke, and he said, but I started a movie. I don't want to be famous. Big movie star. Wrote himself a movie. All right, we'll be right back.
Recapping what you missed, it's Toucher and Rich.
Five, the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Rich, what's going on?
Well, with only 18 games left until the team starts trying, the Celtics are out in San Francisco getting ready for their leisure time against the Golden State Warriors this evening. And in the meantime, the press continue to be a bunch of jerks by doing their job and asking questions and stuff. Let's first start with a guy that actually seems to be doing everything he can to get this team going, Jaylen Brown. Yesterday, when asked, he said he is unhappy with the Celtics losing, saying that he and his teammates have to try to fix the, quote, toxic environment. His words, not the media. He said that the environment of the team hasn't been positive and needs to change. Quote, to be honest, I'm not feeling it at all, Brown said. This losing, it's not a good feeling, and I'm not too good about that. He said, because right now it's not good. It's toxic. I can't really point out to one thing. I don't have all the answers. I'm just going to try to be part of the change. I'm going to try to do it myself. That's all I've got to say. But when asked how he helps to change the culture, he said, I just try to come out and play hard, and hopefully that sparks some change. But it's not just up to one person. It's up to the whole group. Everybody has to be on the same page, he said. If one person's not on the page, it's going to affect the whole group. I just try to come out and play hard and see where that leaves me. And he was asked about their potential after the disappointing losses. And he goes, I still believe. I still think we've got time to get it together. Got 18 games, my man. He goes, I'm very optimistic and very positive and think that we will. We keep talking about it. I'm just going to try and do it with my play, come out and play hard, and try to change the atmosphere and this environment. All right. I like what Jaylen Brown said yesterday. I've got no problem with what he said to the media. I think that that was... And you know what? Because he's the one guy that you really can't call out right now, because I think he honestly sees some sort of benefit and maybe it's selfish, but he's started off in the starting lineup. He's not in the starting lineup anymore, and he realizes guys like Marcus Morris aren't delivering, so maybe that's an incentive for him over the past couple of weeks to actually have upped his game. I mean, the dude has been one of the few guys in this team that it's very tough to criticize how he's been playing. So I think he's earned a right to say things like that. And I actually have no problem with him calling out the environment that being toxic in the team. However, now you have Kyrie Irving, who over the last several games has been very terse with his answers to the press. And I know there's a lot of people saying, well, when he says too much, he gets killed. When he says too little, he gets killed. No, no, no. I don't care. I don't care about him talking as long as he doesn't, A, act like an a-hole to people who don't deserve it, and B, doesn't throw teammates under the bus.
See, I think he's just exceptionally dumb. I'm starting to come to the conclusion.
Is he dumb and trying to act like he is smart and knows all the answers?
I think he's dumb. I think he's like a 12-year-old trying on different personalities.
That's fair.
He has no idea what he okay, you can just go ahead and play what he said, and then you can go over how entirely dumb that was.
All right, so here he is being asked about his short comments the other day.
I said it before, but I didn't really come into this game to be cameras in my face, you know, be famous, be a celebrity.
Right, stop. Real quick, hang on.
Yeah, okay. You did the movie Uncle Drew.
You made a two-hour Pepsi commercial.
You put yourself, and I said at the time, and I mean, I guess it probably did well, but I said, who wants to see Kyrie Irving? And yeah, you don't want to be famous? Get the hell out of here. You want to be famous more than anyone else in the NBA.
On top of that, he
next
talked
to Dwight Howard, but at least he knew that it wasn't going to happen.
Well, I mean, he had a prank call show.
I cannot believe he sat there saying that okay, think of all the ways he's contradicted this. He wants to be the face of a franchise.
Mm-hmm.
He wants to be the A1 on a team. Mm-hmm. And then he made an effing movie.
On top of that, about a year ago, he talked about starting his own TV network. Remember that?
Yes.
And he is starring in a new movie that's filming this summer about the Skirvin Hotel being haunted. So it's like, not only, oh, I'm over this now. I made a bad mistake with the Uncle Drew thing. I think, you know, I'm going to leave that in the past. No, he's filming a movie this summer.
Yeah, he's full of crap. And then, by the way, he's over walking into an arena and having people take pictures of him. Out of all the things involved in your job and all the things involved in the media, you're concerned about them taking your photo?
How tough is that?
No, it's not tough at all. It's. I mean, Jesus. So Tom Brady, when he walks into a stadium, because I'm using Tom Brady as an example because he's arguably the most famous athlete out there that's not in North America. So Tom Brady walks into the stadium, and there's camera. Rochie's got his phone, and everyone's sitting there with a camera. What the hell does he possibly care? What do you think's going to happen, dumbass?
Now, Danny Ainge told us that he was required to sit down, or wasn't required, that there is a team requirement to do certain amount of interviews with ESPN. So the first thing I thought was like, well, you're the one sitting down with Rachel Nichols. You're the one offering this stuff up. And to that, I mean, you can even kind of equate getting out there for the All-Star game. I mean, you don't want to be a star. Dude, everything you're doing indicates that you want to be a star.
No, he wants to be a star.
Your deeds. I mean, every move you make except for this, except for you saying, I don't want to be a star and bitching.
You know why he said he didn't want to be a star? Is it because it just occurred to him right there. He's trying on the personality of, like, the recluse genius. This is what he's doing now. Instead of the carefree Uncle Drew, I'm going to make it a media empire. This is him going, I shouldn't even say he's dumb. I should just say he's adolescent-like. You know, one day he's a goth. The next day he's, you know, wants to be a break dancer.
Sure, one day he shows up wearing a tie to school.
Yeah, exactly.
Over a T-shirt.
Exactly. Well, yes, indeed.
You know?
He wants to be like an 80s prankster.
Right.
So, yeah, he...
He's Ducky. He is Ducky.
He's Ducky.
From Pretty in Pink.
Yeah. Well, I like the alternate ending when Ducky gets her. But there is one. Hey, you can get. Hey, you guys don't got the DVD? All right, so... This is infuriating, and not because I particularly care about Kyrie Irving. It's awful when someone completely contradicts themselves. I don't want to be famous. Oh, you want to be famous so bad. Oh, you know what you don't like? You don't like when people say things that you don't like about you.
Arguably, Fred, you kind of nailed it. Like, can you name three people in the NBA that want to be more famous than he is? That has made more efforts to become somebody in movies, film, and TV? I mean, LeBron James is probably, you know, he's going to film Space Jam.
But he already was famous.
Yeah, yeah, LeBron's famous no matter what.
I see what you mean. But yeah, I mean, who else is marketing themselves this way and putting themselves?
Dwight Howard tried and failed.
He did.
And so, no, I mean.
Even Kevin Durant stopped after the movie Thunderstruck.
Well, Thunderstruck was on TV, and I went, is this real?
Right, I know. Yeah. You know, it's straight to video, I think. Yeah. Here's a little bit of Kyrie Irving.
You know, I said it before, but I didn't really come into this game to be cameras in my face, you know, be famous, be a celebrity, wherever embodies that. So it's a little hard for me. You know, I wanted those things when I was younger, but now at this point in my career, I just want to play basketball at a very, very high level. And you know, the distractions that come within the team sometimes can get overwhelming, and I'm human, so and I just try not to let it seep into, you know, my teammates, and that's the most important thing, is just, you know, set an example for these young guys, and I don't even want to call them young guys, but to my teammates, they really have a great passion for the game of basketball, and they've shown that they can play at a high level. Now it's just getting there on a consistent level.
So. Your teammate just said it was toxic. So you can say everything you want about everyone. By the way, I just got a tweet. It goes, come on, Rich, what's wrong with what Kyrie said? There's footage of him and his teammates having fun in practice. That doesn't get talked about. Maybe it's because one of those players he's talking about having a good time just yesterday said it's a toxic environment.
Whoa. What does one have to do with the other? So what? There's video of him having fun at practice? No one just said he didn't have fun at practice. People said that he's finding things to bitch about. I mean, they're two different issues.
By the way, somebody makes a great point. He said he was wearing an Uncle Drew hat during the damn interview.
Oh, that's right. He was.
I mean, honestly, you know what? I'm just not a big fan of any kind of publicity. I don't like being the famous guy. Hey, by the way, check out my hat. It's about a movie I was in.
But what's he expect? That people are going to just start going Uncle Drew fever now? Like, it's been out a long time. Yeah, you know, buy it. There's a Blu-ray edition. There's a Criterion, or what is it called? The Criterion Collection or whatever.
The Criterion. The
Criterion,
yes.
Collection, right. Uncle Drew.
There's one where you can get Shaquille O'Neal and me pontificating, and the director, and Lil Hal Ray from Get Out. Yes. Giving you behind-the-scenes play-by-play.
Now, this is a scene like we're old, and
and he said, how funny would it be if an old guy danced? So he said, hey, let's be old guys and let's dance. And they said, hey, look, it's a dance off. The old guys are showing the young guys how to dance. Right, and that was pretty cool.
That kind of came out of left field.
It's like, who's ever seen that before? I mean, we're breaking ground here.
He is unbelievable. And then everything he says, you know that he's the reason for all this crap. I mean, he's the reason. Anything about a toxic environment is him. He's created it.
Well, there's a excellent article that Kevin O'Connor, our old friend who now works for The Ringer, he spent several days over this losing streak with the Boston Celtics, and he's got some inside info on what Kyrie Irving has been like over the past, like during this slump, and it's not encouraging. And once again, the finger can be pointed at a lot of different people, and I know a lot of time is spent on Kyrie, but I mean, he can't help himself. He can't help himself. You want to say put the attention on someone else? How about Kyrie Irving does something to make us look elsewhere? Because every time he speaks, it's like, what are you talking about? What are you doing? You're making this worse. He constantly makes this worse. But as far as the gameplay, I said it yesterday, Fred, I got no expectations for this team until the postseason, because Kyrie straight up told us they're not trying. Listen, we're going to be ready in the postseason. We're going to be fine. So, I mean, you got 18 more games till they actually start trying.
So the young guys have already, like Tatum, who's just turned 21, they've decided they're grizzled vets that aren't going to try BS. It's him.
That's what Kyrie said. So I'm going to take him at his word that none of this is worth watching until the playoffs. None of it. And if they go out tonight and they lay a clunker, which they're more than likely going to do, screw me if I'm surprised by that. He told us what they're going to do.
I find it very difficult to believe that guys in their second and third years are going to be coasting at this time in the season.
Well, Jaylen Brown is smart because he's hearing Kyrie Irving say that and go, you want to step back? I'm going to make myself a star.
Right.
Fine. Well, you do what you want. Yeah. I'm going to try to get mine, and I like the fact that he's doing this. but
it's not exactly team basketball either.
I don't care.
That's the problem.
But you know what? If at least he can hustle back on defense.
Wait, trying is not team basketball?
No, what the way Rich is phrasing it.
Well, no, you heard what he said.
What Rich said is, I'm going to go get mine.
Well, you heard what he said is that he thinks his hard play would hopefully motivate the other guys on the team. And I think it's a great way to look at it.
I hope so.
I'll lead by example. So. You guys can sit around and loaf.
Right now, the
I'm going to bust my ass, and hopefully somebody looks at what I'm doing and says, all right, maybe this is the way we need to be playing.
Celtics 2.5 games behind Philadelphia for fourth, and Indiana just lost for the third time in 4 games, and they've fallen back. Celtics are 3 games behind them.
Yeah, I mean, I can
see. So tactically, everything's within reach heading into this West Coast road trip.
Okay, here are the headlines.
Quite as hard.
You're the Boston Celtics right now.
Too many guys like that hurt your team.
That's why the talent is down.
98.5 The Sports Hub. 98.5thesportshub.com.
No parents, no rules, no shirts, and best of all,
it's Toucher and Rich.
I read you all out and clear.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
98.5 The Sports Hub with Toucher and Rich. So off air, Dan O'Brien comes in here like Johnny come lately, and he goes, did you hear that Mona died from Who's the Boss? I said, yeah, I put it up on the gram. I said, I ruined more socks to Mona than anything else. And then Dan goes, like, oh, she was on Soap, which I'm not overly familiar with. I know that Billy Crystal played like a gay puppeteer on it. But then John Wall game goes coach on you.
Yep. Mona was on Coach.
Yep. See, this is something that no one knows because what era of Coach was it?
When Coach left the college game and turned into an NFL head coach in Orlando, you see. She was the owner of said team.
Was so that like Coach Again? Was that
like a sequel
to Coach?
No,
like what's happening now?
No, that wasn't a sequel.
Still
that
coaching?
That was the end of the run, as you might imagine. And he brought the goofy blonde tall guy with him.
Well, and then he also had Dick Van Dyke's
Both of those guys went too.
Yeah, Dick Van Dyke's brother, dead.
Yeah, Mona turned out to be a meddling owner. It was a very interesting byplay between the head coach, Craig T. Nelson, and Mona.
So you're saying that Jerry Jones... Now, when Jerry Jones called on the show, now, were they negotiating the pick? Was sex on the table?
No. Sex was not on the table.
So she did not play like a MILFy type.
No.
She aged out of that role.
Orlando had the number one pick in the draft, Rich, as you might imagine, which is why they were looking for a new head coach. And Craig T. Nelson calls Keyshawn Johnson, who was just coming out of college at the time. And Keyshawn, with great acting chops, said, you know, if you pick me, coach, I'm not going to play for you. I know the owner. I know your team. I don't want to play for you. So now the number one pick is up for grabs. And Jerry Jones calls Mona and said, well, we'd like the pick. And she's like, well, you know, I don't know. I don't know anything about picks or anything like that.
And this is the real Jerry Jones.
Yeah, the real Jerry Jones. Okay. Same thing. And he says, well, we can trade other things.
See, when you say that, it makes me think Mona was offering it up. So when I made this statement on Instagram, people were like, well, you pledged yourself to Blanche when she seduced that young college guy. You know, you liked Mona from Who's the Boss? Even though Delta Burke on Who's the Boss, one of the great seduction scenes. And Tony's like, whoa, I can't do it. Because Angela is looking at him.
I remember that episode.
Oh yeah, do you remember
I do. And Delta Burke was about 50 pounds lighter at that point.
Oh, she was awesome. If that was on today, you know what? I might YouTube that when I go home and if I to be able to take a nap. But, and then someone's like, what?
Delta Burke looked good back then.
And someone's like, did you have a MILF thing? Of course I had a MILF thing.
Mm-hmm.
I predated MILF. See, kids, when you're on your computer seeing all kinds of weird MILF stuff, I was over there busting my ass on the VHS, getting Mona when she would seduce someone. But Mona had a nice rack-a-rooney. There was nothing wrong with
rack-a-rooney.
Her. Yeah. See, Blanche was not good looking. Blanche, I'll give you. Blanche was... you know what's really sad? Is that they weren't that old. Like, the Golden Girls at that time were, like, 60. Then you think about it, and you're like, oh, like, this is a show with really old people. Then you go, oh, 60. How come they were able to? What was Blanche's, not Blanche, what was Dorothy's husband's name in that?
I don't know. I'm not a Golden Girls guy. Don't know.
You never watched The Golden Girls?
I do, but I don't know enough characters to go, oh, this guy's name is this and that. I don't know that.
Someone said Mona's character and coach traded away the first pick for a ranch in Texas and $1 million. No clue why I remember that.
Yes, yes. That's
the
thing.
People are very smart.
Jerry Jones, man. We don't have to trade picks. We can trade cash. I thought it was a head of cattle, to be honest with you.
Yeah, there was an episode of Golden Girls where Blanche, there's a young college boy visiting, and Blanche can't control herself. She wants that young man, the rippling muscles. She's sick of the old guys. Yeah, Stanley Zbornak, that was the name of the...
The fact that you watch this show is just so great.
It's still, I'll watch it when it's on.
Because, I mean, you were high school? Like, when you were watching it?
I would say that's a middle school, high school crossover.
Okay, like, there was a million other things that you could have watched, like, for someone your age. Like, there was target marketing towards our age group. Why you chose the Golden Girls is, like, astounding, and it's admirable.
Oh, yeah. It's very admirable.
I mean, you like what you like, I guess.
You're kind of a slave to syndication, but they weren't syndicated at that point.
So you had to just wait till every, like, Wednesday at 8:30 or whenever it was.
No. This was a one-time walk around the block. This was not a Mona situation.
Okay.
You know who else was, I think I've talked about this before, but was on Mr. Belvedere? Another saucy redhead, Milfaru.
Blanche's husband was Stan.
Yeah, Stanley, whatever Dan just said in my ear.
Never watched Mr. Belvedere, ever.
Oh, there was an episode of Mr. Belvedere where, remember the girl that burned down the float in...
Yeah, Christina Lise, yeah.
I know, Christina Lise was actually the one who tried to seduce Arvin.
Burned down the float? What are you guys talking about?
Oh, that was before the carnival of Beverly Hills 90210. Yeah,
yeah, we'll get into Luke Perry later. We'll get into that.
Here's all I know about Mr. Belvedere is this famous scene.
Hi, Mr. Belvedere.
Hello, Danny.
Is Wesley here?
Yes, come on in. Everyone, you remember Wesley's friend, Danny?
Oh, hi, Danny. Hi, Mrs. Owens, Mr. Owens.
Hiya, champ. How's it going?
Well, I got eight, but other than that, I'm doing pretty good.
They dared tackle the topic of AIDS, and they did it so subtly.
Like, I mean, just like, could you have done that any more wrongly? Or I got AIDS. They wanted the track. What was that?
They wanted to rip the Band-Aid off. No, there was an episode ahead of the class where Arvin, that was the girl Arvin, and then there's an episode, it used to always frustrate me. There was two episodes, Growing Pains,
okay,
where the girl from Different Strokes comes over, and she's dressed like Madonna and like a virgin.
Okay.
And she tries to seduce him, and he's on an exercise bike trying to, like, make himself not so horny.
The one who died.
Yeah, but she was good-looking at the time. And then there was an episode of Mr. Belvedere, while the teenage son had a girl over trying to seduce him. And those shows used to drive me crazy. I used to be like, what are you doing? This girl wants to get with you. What are you doing?
Get off the damn exercise bike.
Well, you know that they were never going to let that happen. Mm. Kirk Cameron always considered a honk, but he never really followed through with anything. The religion got in his head.
What episode of Different Strokes was this?
Now the world don't move to the beat of just one drum.
Willis needs a job.
You get the picture? I'm unemployed.
Then why don't you collect unemployment insurance?
Arnold, to collect unemployment, you gotta not be working at what you're working at before you stop working.
What you talking about, Willis?
That would be from
any excuse, man.
Catherine Tappan and What's Tappan.
Any excuse to slip that in there. And the best part is it came without warning. And people are like, hey, there it is. It's like watching a comet overhead.
It's What's Tappan.
Yeah.
Catherine Tappan.
I was not expecting.
Why would Willis need a job? His dad was one of the great real estate moguls in New York.
I'm not quite sure.
Oh.
What's happening?
Okay, I'm going to go. This is the last reference I'm going to make. Can anyone tell me the maid after What's-Her-Face went to Facts of Life? They had a maid. Can anyone tell you they were in Willis or Gary Coleman and his friend were making fun of a certain affliction, and she came in very gravely and said that she had the affliction. Can anyone tell me what that affliction
was? Was it gout?
No.
That would have been
I'll have you know, I have gout.
Gout.
The gout hotline number at the end of the episode.
Exactly.
I'll have you gentlemen know it can be difficult sometimes to maneuver my foot around. Would anyone care to guess what the affliction was? It was pre-bike shop.
Oh, no.
It might have been bike shop, post-bike shop, but it was him and Dudley.
Know.
Anyone take it was epilepsy.
Oh.
They were making fun of epileptics, and it fit beautifully. The way that they started making fun of epileptics was really just so smooth.
Oh, my God. What was the... Okay, there's got to be a compilation of most wildly inappropriate, very special episodes of television shows.
Well, that's nothing compared to the very special episodes of Different Strokes, the 18 kidnappings. Especially when Sam got kidnapped by the family, and he had, like, kids that are adolescents, and he's like, this is your brother. And they're like, no, it's not. Shut up. But, like, they're making fun of epileptics, and she comes in and she goes, it's not funny. I have epilepsy. And it cuts to commercial.
Oh, my gosh.
To make you sit and wonder what could possibly be next.
Was there, like, a requirement, like some sort of FCC regulation, to, like, you had to have one very special episode per season?
I just think Different Strokes hit it out of the park the first time that Gary Coleman and the girl got kidnapped by the guy who asked Gary Coleman if he wanted to see NASA videos. And so he locked him in the room and he tried to have his way.
Was that kind of like the episode of the Brady Bunch where, was it Bobby who got kidnapped by Vincent Price? And then once they found him, like, oh, he's just a lonely old man. Let's let him have his fun.
Yeah, they followed the trail of, Bobby and Cindy, and they followed the trail of popcorn.
Yeah, and then they found like, oh, you're the kidnapper? But instead of like calling the police, like, oh, he's a nice old man.
No, he's a lonely old man.
He just wanted to have fun with these two little underage children.
Yeah, he was a lonely old man.
You know.
I don't know if that was a very special
episode. Never mind that he brought him to a cave.
The best Brady Bunch is when they went to Kings Park or whatever. No, that's where my parents lived. Where, oh, God, what's the, like, knockoff? Did they go to Six Flags? They went somewhere, and the whole thing was this obvious advertisement because Marsha buys a poster of Yogi Bear because she was super cool, or Jan bought it. And it came in the exact same thing that Mr. Brady held his plans in. So there's a mix-up, and they have to run through the entire park. So it's just this advertisement. And then Alice has to start running, and she craps herself. All right, we will get back to the sports
team. That was a very special episode. Yeah. She's called Alice Craps Herself.
Yeah, she's just like, oh, boy. The best is after she rode a horse in the Grand Canyon, and it goes kaboom.
What's happening?
Oh, boy. All right, we'll be right back.
Hi, how are you, honey?
Hello!
This is where Boston talks sports.
I'm overwhelmed.
Toucher and Rich.
You can eat a lot at one sitting.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Sports Hub, we're Toucher and Rich. Rich, what else is going on?
Well, it's good to know you got one team who's playing their ass off at the TD Garden. And tonight, things continue for the Boston Bruins against the Carolina Hurricanes. And the goalie play as of late has been excellent. When you look at both Tuukka Rask and Halak and Mr. Bruce Cassidy, who, by the way, will be joining the show at 8:15 this morning. We have a double dose of Bruins today. We got Bruce Cassidy at 8:15 and Jake DeBrusk, who's riding high off the nice TNR bump.
Shout out to Touch and Rich as well. They'll kill me if I don't do this. And thank you, guys.
I think I saw Jake DeBrusk yesterday with Charlie McAvoy. I think they went to the Captain Marvel screening. I couldn't tell because they were kind of far ahead of me as I was going in the theater. But I believe it was Charlie McAvoy. And you know who I knew it might have been him? The Cheeks.
Puffy Cheeks.
It was the Cheeks. And by the way, you remember on the show when we called him Chuck E. Cheeks at one time? I guess that's his nickname.
Yeah, they call him Cheeks.
And I think it was DeBrusk. We got to ask him about it. It was DeBrusk in an interview who said, and then there was Cheeks, and he goes, and he just started laughing. He goes, yeah, You tell him I called him Cheeks, because apparently it drives him crazy.
Yeah, so they were giving two guys nicknames. They were talking about two nicknames, and they would call him the Cheeks.
So now I feel it's like a responsibility of ours to continue to have Jake DeBrusk on.
We'll see if he calls.
Well, we'll see. I mean, he's scheduled to call at 9:20, but we definitely have Bruce Cassidy on at 8:15.
I'm not positive DeBrusk is scheduled. I think this would be...
I think he's regularly scheduled every Tuesday at 9:20. It's just the 3 weeks we had him, we didn't have him on.
They got a home game.
The breaks.
They got morning skate. I mean, he's going to be up, probably on his way into the rink.
Yeah, he's called, I think, almost every Tuesday except for the All-Star break and when they were out of town for the Christmas. Isn't that right, Dan? Yeah, Christmas vacation. So, yeah. So, I mean, he's scheduled to call.
Yeah, when they did the Winter Classic, they were traveling back that Tuesday. I think maybe Tuesday was January.
It could have been. And I don't think we had him on during Super Bowl week. That might have been the other one.
They may have been traveling. So when they're on the West Coast, it turned out to be like 4 weeks in a row.
Okay, so he is scheduled to be on. But here is Bruce Cassidy talking about the goalie situation.
Far point, it's fire.
Isn't that it right there? This is it right here.
So we've penciled in all the starts from now to the end of the year, barring performance issues or injuries. So far, the performance has been excellent. Injuries, good. So Halak's going to go tomorrow. What do we got left? 17? It's probably 10-7 maybe now. Maybe even 9-8. But it won't be like 12-5. Probably 10-7, if I had to guess right now, is how we have it scripted.
If you're Tuukka, isn't that perfect? I mean, it's very close to, it's like 60-40, right? I mean, it seems like you're going to get almost every other game off heading into the postseason, just enough to keep you in check and keep yourself in shape, but with just enough rest to where you're going to go strong into the postseason. To me, that almost sounds like a perfect setup for Tuukka. What, would you rather have him just take like a whole like week and a half off?
I'd rather have him take 3 or 4 starts. I mean, they're playing for something. I mean, they're playing to have to face Toronto in the first round on home ice.
As good as they have been, and the Bruins have been beyond good since the new year, Toronto is 1 point behind them.
Yep.
After beating Calgary, by the way, last night. And Calgary has the second best record in the National Hockey League.
Yeah, they need to win. They need to win. You don't want to go on the road with Toronto in the first round.
I'm trying to look at the schedule, and John, by taking a look, I mean, does the way that Bruce Cassidy played it out more than likely make it look like Tuukka's going to play the marquee games that might be tougher to win? And then you would put Halak in and a little bit more of the
easier
beats.
I mean, do
the numbers match up, I guess, is what I'm trying to say.
Well, I mean, they would do it. I think that's difficult to juggle.
Well, I'm looking at back-to-backs.
Yeah, well, I mean, obviously
that's the thing. I think the way I look at it, they only have two back-to-backs left, as I see it, and they're both Saturday-Sunday. This coming Saturday-Sunday and the final Saturday-Sunday they have back-to-backs there. But I don't know, the rest of them are pretty well spaced out, every other day, every third day.
Yeah.
So I there are two games you can pencil Halak in for other than this one. That's three. So basically Rask for the most part.
Unfortunately, my son wants to go to that last game against Tampa.
Well, that's the jersey off their back game, right? The sweater off their back?
He wants to go there, and he wants to bring 4 friends.
Oh.
Even though his birthday is in May.
I see.
So I'm looking desperately for a chance to get face value on those tickets.
By the way, Kevin Miller's injury, a little worse than the Bruins initially believed. He has been downgraded to week to week.
Oh, good.
So is obviously not something you want to hear.
Well, maybe that's a situation of taking your time and not rushing things.
Maybe.
Well, you can do that with Kevin Miller. I don't know if you can do that with Rask.
Injuries are weird this time of year.
Cassidy said yesterday something came up on the MRI they didn't expect.
Okay.
So it's an injury. It's not, they're not resting him.
All right. Well, you take your time with that.
Sure.
All right. No commercials here, just the headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.